We're beginning here at the bottom of Mem Aleph Amud Bet. The Gemara is continuing to discuss the position of Rabbi Meir, which is Rabbi Meir seems to say in the Gemara Menachot that Mifaglim b'chatzi matir. Rish Lakish offered an alternative explanation for Rabbi Meir, which is not that he believes that you can Mifagel b'chatzi matir, but rather that Kol Oseh Al Dat Rishonahu Oseh. Whenever someone takes an action, the default is that they are continuing whatever machshava, whatever dibur they had in the first ma'aseh, they continue that unless they state to the contrary. If they've articulated in machshava of chutz lizmano, that will remain for all the avodot afterwards unless they state to the contrary. So now the Gemara is challenging that. We had yesterday an attempt at a proof from our Mishnah, and then the Gemara rejected that by saying, no, we have an alternative way to read the Mishnah that it could be the Rabbanon. Now the Gemara brings a question from a Tosefta. Meitevei, b'mei dvarim amurim, where is this all said, bidamim hanitanim amizbeach hachitzon? This is talking about the dam that is placed on the mizbeach hachitzon. Aval, damim hanitanim amizbeach v'nimi. The dam that is done on the mizbeach v'nimi, mean the chatot ha'pnimiyot, kigom. What are the damim that go on these bechapimi? Arba'im v'shalosh shel Yom HaKippurim. Like the 43 hazaot of Yom Kippur. V'achadasar shel par kohen Mashiach. The 11 of the par kohen Mashiach. V'achadasar shel par helam dover shel tzibor. Or the 11 of the par helam dover shel tzibor. So what are the 43 hazaot of Yom Kippur? Quickly, we can go through them. That when he goes into the Ben Abadim, he takes the par, and he sprinkles 8 sprinkles between the Badim where the Aron is, Achat Lamala B'Sheva Lamato. Then after that, he comes out and does another 8 outside the Parochet, in front of the Parochet, Achat Lamala B'Sheva Lamato. That's true of the par. For the Seir L'Shem, you do the similar things, 8 inside, and then 8 on the Parochet. So between them, each one of them has 16 hazaot, 8 ben abadim, 8 in front of the parochet. So together they will have 16 plus 16, they will have 32 hazaot. After that, they mix the dam together, both the dam apar and the dam asir is mixed together, and then they do arba matanot, al arba karnot mizbech hazav, 4 matanot on the 4 karnot of mizbech hazav, and in addition they do 7 hazaot al tohar mizbech, on the top of the mizbech. That's an additional 11. So the 32 plus 11 gets you to the 43 hazaot. On the other hand, when it comes to the par kohen Mashiach and the par helam dover shel tzibur, you only have 7 hazaot outside of the parochet, and then after that you have 4 matnot al arba kanot mizbech hazav. So you have the 7 in front of the parochet and the 4 on the matnot on the arba kanot mizbech hazav, that gets you to the 11. So that's what it means here, the damim apnimiim, or the chatot apnimiyot. We're speaking about Yom Kippur, where you have 43 hazot, or par kohen Mashiach and par dover shel tzibur, but both have 11 hazot. So there, the Tosefta says, pigel ben birishona, ben bishtina, ben bishlishit. So whether he was mefagel in the first, the second or the third, Rabbi Meir Omer Pigul Bichayavin Alav Karet, Bechamim Amim Imbo Karet Aishivagel Becholamatir. So now, what is this Rishona Shniyah Shlishit? Right, I would have thought maybe it's the first Azah, second Azah, third Azah. That's not the way that Rashi reads it. Rashi says, no, but Rishona means Bekodshe Akodashim. And then Shniyah means in front of the Parochet. And Shlishit means Al Mizbeach Azahav. Meaning that Rishonah, Shniyah, Shlishit here means the sets of Hazaot that are done. There's a set of Hazaot that's done Ben Abadim in front of the Aron. There's a set of Hazaot that are done in front of the Parochet, at least on Yom Kippur, this is true. And then there's a set of Hazaot that are done on the Mizbeach Hazav. So now, if a person had a Machshevet Pigul in any one of these, whether it's the first, the second, or the third, Rabbi Meir Omer Pigul, V'chayvin Alav Karet. Now, if you believe that Reb Meir's position is based on the fact that a mefagel b'chatzi matir is still considered to be pigul, I understand Reb Meir's position over here. On the other hand, if you explain like Reish Lakish, that kol ha'oseh adat rishona osah, that anybody who does something, the default is that they continue to do what they said or what they articulated in the first avodah, now you have a problem. Because it says here, ben berishona, ben bishina, ben shlishit, which sounds like, even if you just did it bishini'ah, or even in bishlishit, which would be latter parts of the hazaot, then it would still be pigul. According to Reish Lakish, it only works for Rabbi Meir when he does it up front. It has to be the first set of hazaot that he does that are mefagel, and then you can say adat rishona. But if you already open up the possibility that in the second or the third set that he can make a pigul, that means Rabbi Meir certainly does not believe it's adat rishona, but rather that a mefagel b'chatzim adir is considered to be pigul. On the other hand, the Chachamim state to their opinion, which is, Ein bo karet ad shifagel b'chol matir. You don't get karet until you mefagel in the chol matir. And what's the chol matir for the Chachamim? The chol matir would mean all the way from the beginning of the hazaot to the end of the hazaot, which means from the time that he enters into the Kodesh HaKodeshim, all the way to the point where he finishes up on the Mizbech HaZav. So Tosfos points out that according to the Chachamim, it's, you have to have, in this case, to make pigul, you would have to have a machshav or articulate a machshavet chutz all the way through the entire series of hazaot, because they all are me'akev. The Gemara says, Dani miha, this is what I just explained to Rabbi Meir, pigul ben birishana, ben bishina, ben bishlishit, upalig. And Rabbi Meir argues in that case. So that would be against the position of Reish Lakish. Amar Rav Yitzchak bar Avin, Och Abaye Skinon. No, what's the case here? Kigon Shepigel B'Shchita. No, it's a case where the pigel happened in the Shchita. Dechad Matir Hu. Because by Shchita, there's only one Matir. The problem by all of these Hazaot are that the Hazaot are expansive. So if they're expansive, that means, at least according to Reish Lakish understands Rabbi Meir, you can only have the Machshava in the first one, and that would impact the rest of them. On the other hand, if you talk about a single matir, like Shechita, then to have the Machshavet Chutz L'Zmano just about that matir, that makes sense. It says, if the Pigul is only about the Shechita, my time with the Rabbanon. That doesn't make sense. Then how are you going to explain the position of the Rabbanon? Why do the Rabbanon believe that there is no Pigul here? If the Shechita is the only thing that we're having a machshava about, it's one maaseh, it's one matir. If you have a machshava pigul about the Shechita, it's over. Even the Rabbanon agreed that that's considered to be pigul. So Amar Rava, Rava says, no, man chachamim Rabbi Eliezer hi. The chachamim here are Rabbi Eliezer, the Tnan. And this Rabbi Eliezer will solve that problem. The question here, why would the chachamim believe that even though you're mefagel in the Shechita, it's not pigul? And that is the Tnan. A kometz, Valivona, Vak Toret, Uminchat Kohanim, Uminchat Kohen Mashiach, Uminchat Nisachim. Now what's special about all of these items is that they end up entirely on the Mizbeach. The Kometz that's removed from a Mincha ends up on the Mizbeach. Levona, which is brought from the Lechem Apanim, the Levona, that is associated with Lechem Apanim or with the regular Mincha, that entirely ends up on the Mizbeach. A Minchat Kohanim is Kalil Hashem. Minchat Kohen, none of a mincha of a Kohen is eaten. The entire mincha ends up on the Mizbeach. Umikachat Kohen Mashiach, the same thing of the mincha of the Kohen, Hagadol, and the Minchat Nesachim. All of these end up entirely on the Mizbeach. So now, Sheikri vechat mehem kezayit bachutz chayav. If you take a kezayit of any of these items that's supposed to go on the Mizbeach, and instead you're makrivit bachutz, chayav. Verbi lezer poter. Well, it says your patur, ad shiukriv et kulan, until you bring the entire object on the Mizbeach. So Rabbi Eliezer's belief is that the Avodah has to be something, if it's entirely going on the Mizbeach, the Avodah is only complete when it ends up entirely on the Mizbeach. Now you could, Rabbi Eliezer would agree, that if you do a kezayit bachutz and the rest of it on the Mizbeach, you would be chayav. All that Rabbi Eliezer requires is that the entire avodah be done. Now, if a portion of it was done inside and a portion of it outside, then you would be chayav. But Rabbi Eliezer just necessitates the entirety of whatever's going on in the Mizbeach or whatever avodah is being done to be completed. And therefore, said Ben Birish Rabbi Eliezer Shlishi, which presents a problem for Reish Lakish's interpretation of Rabbi Meir. Along comes Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Avin and says, I'll solve the problem. I'll move the problem over to Shechita. If I move the problem over to Shechita, then I understand, now I can support Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir and say, it all has to do with Dat Rishona. It has to do with the first thing that he did, that's where he is Mefagel. Over here, there's only one matir that's called Shechita. There's one matir called Shechita, that once he is Mefagel in that Shechita, that affects the entirety of the process afterwards. So that's exactly what we need in order to prevent this being a question on Reish Lakish in Rabbi Meir. So then the Gemara says, well, if you explain the Tosefta to be speaking about a case of Shechita, then how do you explain the Chachamim's position? The Chachamim believe that you cannot be Mefagel in a Chatzi Matir. But they agree if you're Mefagel in a whole Matir, like Shechita, that would be Pigul. So why would the Chachamim over here believe that there is no Pigul? The Avrova answers and says, the Chachamim here are Rabbi Eliezer. Rabbi Eliezer believes that you only can be Mefagel in a Matir if you do the entirety of the Avoda. So what's the entirety of Avodah? So now, this is to be what you're asking, which is, how do we deal with the Rishona Shniya Shlishit here? What does it mean, Rishona Shniya Shlishit? So the understanding of the Gemara at this point in time is that the Rishona Shniya Shlishit means the first, second, and third Behemah that is being brought to complete the process. If you remember, we have the damim that have to be placed in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. We have the damim that has to go into before the Parochet. We have the damim that have to go into Mizbech HaZahav. If dam spilled in the middle of the process, then you have to bring another behema in order to complete the process. So you have to bring another seir or another par to complete the matanot damim or the hazaot that were not done until this point. It's machlokas in the Gemara and Yoma where you start from. Do you start all the way from the beginning? Do you start from where you left off? Do you start off if you finish the series? Is that enough? That's a machlokas in the Gemara and Yoma. But what we're going to suggest now is Rishona, Shniya, Shlishit means the first animal you brought, the second animal you brought, and the third one. They had a problem. The blood spilled a number of times, and they had to bring three seirim in order to complete the process of doing the hazot adam. So in bringing the three seirim, he had a pigul, he had a machshevet pigul in the shechita of either the first, the second, or the third. For Rabbi Meir, now, at least according to Reish Lakish, we're okay. Because Reish Lakish, all he said was, if you do the first item, the pigul, then Rabbi Meir says that mefagel b'chatzi matir, because the default is that everything afterwards follows that. Over here, you limited the matir that we're speaking about to the shechita. In shechita, you can have a machshavet pigul on the entire thing, and then it'll be pigul. You're not talking about chatzi matir anymore. So Reish Lakish, it's no longer a problem. Because the case is a case where he's mefagel in the whole matir. But then you ran into the problem, what about the chachamim? So the answer to that is that it's Rabbi Eliezer, shittat Rabbi Eliezer. Shittat Rabbi Eliezer is that you can't make pigul about a matir unless you do the entire avoda, unless you have the entire thing in mind. Over here, what's the entire avoda? It's the three shechitot. It's not just one shechita. There's a shechita to get part of it done, another shechita to get the next piece of it done, and a third shechita to get it done. So if they shechted three seirim in order to do all the hazot adam, then that means that to get the entire avodah done, you have to do three shechitot. If you only had machshava pigul about one of the three shechitot, that doesn't make it into pigul according to Rabbi Eliezer. This is premised on Rabbi Eliezer's position with regards to Hakravat Chutz. In Hakravat Chutz, the Tanakhama, which we brought from this Mishnah, which is that if you do a kazayit of something that's supposed to be in the Mizbech and you do it outside, chayav. But it says, no. If the entire item needs to end up on the Mizbech, the only time you're going to be chayav is if the entire thing either ends up b'chutz, or on the Mizbech HaPnimi, or between them. It ends up being totally consumed. To be done, you need to have a complete avoda to be considered something problematic. So we're extrapolating Rabbi Lezer's position from Akhtarat Chutz to here, in our case of Pigul, and saying the same thing. Unless you do the entire avoda of Pigul, it won't be Pigul according to Rabbi Eliezer. The Gemara is going to challenge that right now and say, Bahama Rava, didn't Rava say, Umoda Rabbi Eliezer bidamim? The Rabbi Lezer agrees by damim, that's not. We have a mission. Rabbi Lezer, Rabbi Shimon Amim, Mimakom Shepasak, Misham Humatchil. So you see that when it comes to, and I said to you before, that there's a machlokas in the Gemara and Yoma about what you do when blood is spilled in the middle of the process of doing the matnot dam on Yom Kippur, what do you do when you come to replace it? When you bring the new animal, do you start from the beginning again? Do you start from the place that you left off? Or only if you completed a full series, do you stop off? So here you see, explicitly, Rabbi Lezer says, you start with makom shepasak shamu matchil. So from the place that you stopped, now you are going to begin. What does that show you? That shows you that Rabbi Eliezer believes when it comes to the matnot dam that they're considered to be discrete items. If he believed that they were a single avoda, that means when the blood spilled and you brought the new behemah, you'd have to start from the beginning again. But the fact that he allows you to take and make them into discrete items and start from the place that you stopped, that shows you that he believes that each avoda is distinct and discrete, and they don't, are not dependent one on the other. If that's true, then Rabbi Eliezer is not going to say that one shechita is ma'akev the other shechita, the gabei machshevet pigul. That each one is a discrete avoda, and if you have a machshevet pigul about it, then you've had a machshevet pigul about the entire avoda. That's the entire shechita for this series of damim that you're going to bring. So then, even if Rabbi Eliezer is the author of the position of the chachamim, Rabbi Eliezer would say that that is considered pigul. So now we need to alter our explanation here, because now we don't have an explanation for the Chachamim's position. If we don't have an explanation for the Chachamim's position, then we can't explain the Tosefta speaking about Shechita. We don't speak on it as about Shechita, then it will present a problem for Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir. So now the Gemara says, Ela Amar Rava, Kigon. This is how it works. Shepigel berishona, v'shatak bishnia, v'chazar upigel bishlishit. This is the series that happened here. That he had a machshava about the first one of Pigel. The second one he was silent. And then the third one, he had a machshevet pigul again. We're back to assuming that we're talking about the damim and the sprinkling over here. And first, second, and third are the series of damim that are done. Hazot ha-damim, one is in lifnai v'lifnim ben abadim, the next one on the prochet, and mizbech zav. Ma'u d'teima, what would I have thought? Isaka datcha dat rishonahu. If it goes after dat rishonam, he had their pigule bishlishit lomali. Why did he bother to have a machshevet chutz lizmano in the third series? Kamash Malon, that it still doesn't matter, and it's considered to be Adat Rishona. He had Pigul in the first series of Damim that he sprinkled, say in the Kodesh HaKadoshim. He was silent with the sprinklings that he did, Ala Parochet, and then he had a Machshev Pigul of Chutz Lizmano on the sprinklings that he did on the Mizbeach Zahav. Rava's suggestion here is he has a Machshev Chutz Lizmano in the first series, Ben Abadim, and he has Machshevet Chutz Lizmano on the Mizbech Zav. When he did those on the Parochet, he had no Machshava whatsoever. So then, according to Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir, that works now, because what was the first thing he did? He had a Machshevet Pigul in the first series. Then when he did the second one silently, we will attribute his Machshava that he had on the first to the second, and it's as if he did the whole thing Bib Pigul. And therefore it'll work out according to Reish Lakish. The question is, what's the Chiddush then? What's the Chiddush of this Braita, or the Sefta, that he went ahead and did it again on the third? And that's what Rava says. The Chiddush is that if everything is Aldat Rishona, the assumption is that when he has a Machshevet Chutz Lizmano in the first one, that by default it applies to the second and the third. Why did he bother when he went ahead and had a Machshevet and articulated Machshevet Chutz Lizmano in the third one? What does that indicate? That indicates that he didn't think that it carried from the first all the way through. By his demonstrating right in the third of doing it, we would think that indicates that in the second one he also didn't have a machshevet chutz lizmano. That's not the default. Kamash Milan, that it is. That even though he went and rearticulated it in the third, we still say that the machshava of the first applies to the second. Matkif la Ravashi. Ravashi challenges this understanding of Rava. Midei shatok ptani. Where in the Tosefta do you see him being silent? It just says, Rishona, Shnia, Shlishit. Where do you ever see the word Shatak there? Ela Amar Ravashi. Ravashi says, Hakol Ma'iskinan. This is the case. Kigon Shepigel Birishona, Ubishnia, Ubishlishit. He had a Machshevet Pigol, meaning articulated Chutz Lizmano, in the first series, the second series, and the third series. Mahu Detema. What would I have thought? Isak Adata Kolosel Dat Rishona was, if you think that someone who is doing everything al dat rishonah, then why is he in each series going back and rearticulating his machshevet chutz lizmano? I would have thought that everything goes al dat rishonah. So kamash malon, that we still consider it to be al dat rishonah. But what do you need the al dat rishonah for here? He had a machshevet chutz lizmano in each one of the series. So that's what Rashi claims over here. Rashi says something very interesting. And in the fourth case, he was not pigel. What's the fourth case over here? What's the fourth series that we're talking about over here? Tosfos asks on Rashi. He doesn't know where did he get this revi'it here. Where's the thing that he's being silent about here? We never see. The Gemara until this point in time only thinks there's three series. And the series are complete. That means anything Ben Abadim, one series. Anything in front of the Parochet, second series. anything on the Mizbeach HaZahav, serious. Doesn't matter about the four kranot or the seven on the roof, on the top of the Mizbeach HaZahav. Where did Rashi get the four? So it's the Tosos, the Lepanim Tosos here. It says, Perish by Conchus, Vrid, Lo Pigel, Bekasher, Ravid, Mandakar Shmei. Where do we ever find this fourth case? And he says that Rashi in other places, like in Menachot, does not explain it this way. So Tosos brings over here, which I think, Rooney, which you mentioned before, Yesh Lomar, that we're speaking about the Shirayim. That the Shirayim, and this is according to the Tana, who believes that Shirayim of the Chatot HaPimiot are Magvot. And since they are Magvot, they become meaningful in terms of being a Matir, in terms of the Kapara. Once they become meaningful in terms of the Kapara, then you have to have, that has, your Machshava has to affect all of them. So Rashi claims Revi'it, and what you're going to have to explain in the Revi'it here is one of two items. It seems that Rashi is implicating that the Mizbeach HaZahav is divided into two portions. The Mizbeach HaZahav has Arba Matnot al Arba Kanot, and then it has the seven Hazot that are on top. What it seems from this is that Rashi is dividing those into two series. So the first series in the Ben Abadim, he had Machshev Pigol. Second series on the Parochet, Machshev Pigol. The third series means the Arba Kanot of Mizbeach HaZahav. There he had Machshev Pigol. The fourth series, meaning the seven on top of his Mizbeach HaZahav, there he doesn't have Machshev Pigol. Tosos offers the alternative that we're talking about the Shirayim that would be taken out, and we're saying according to one who says that the Shirayim are Ma'akve. So according to Ravashi, this is the understanding. Why did he go and articulate? In every one of the series, he articulated the fact that he wants it to be Pigol Chutz L'Zmano. If we really believe, like Reish Lakish says in Rabbi Meir's position, that it's Audat Rishona, why did he, after the first thing, he doesn't have to articulate anything? We would default to say that whatever he said in the first applies to the others afterwards. The fact that he went and articulated again and again either means that Audat Rishona doesn't work, or he, the person who's doing it, doesn't believe it works. Nevertheless, that's what Kamash Malan means, that even though he did stated it in each of the three cases, we still apply it to this fourth case, according to Rashi, or according to Tosafot, we apply it to the Shirayim, and it's considered as if you did the whole thing, be-machshevet chutz lizmano, and that will be Rabbi Meir's position on why you're chayav here, and still be within the explanation of Reish Lakish that Rabbi Meir believes it's all about al-dat rishona hu osa. Now the Gemara is going to challenge Ravashi's explanation now, which is va-ben-ben-kitani. The Tosafta says, Ben Berishona, Ben Bishnina, Ben Bishlishit. When you want to say, when you say Ben, Ben means or. It means Ben Berishona in the first, Ben Bishnina means or the second, and Ben Shlishit means or the third. The way Rav Ashi is explaining it is and. That he had a Machshevet Pigol in the first, second, and third. And that's not the way the Lashon reads. And that's what the Gemara says here, Ben Ben Kanani, Kasha. That's a very strong question. And therefore we don't have the explanation for the Tosefta Aliba de Rabbi Meir. If we don't have a strong explanation for the Tosefta Aliba de Rabbi Meir, the way Reish Lakish understands it, that would be a present a problem for Reish Lakish's understanding of Rabbi Meir. The simplest way to understand the Tosefta is that Rabbi Meir believes that you can be mefagel and chazi matir. And that's the way we explain the Tosefta. We now are trying to bring alternatives to explaining the Tosefta in order to uphold Reish Lakish's position, Rabbi Meir, that al-dak rishona. The reason that Rabbi Meir says it's pigol is because it's al-dak rishona, not because of chazi matir. The problem is that we attempted a number of attempts. We had the attempt of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin, helped by Rava. Then we had an attempt by Rava, and then an attempt by Rav Ashi. And each time we're knocking it down and saying we can't fit it into this Tosefta. When we do that, that presents a problem in the end. Kasha, that's a difficulty in the explanation. That difficulty will then be a difficulty for Reish Lakish's explanation of Rabbi Meir. Amar Mar, Rabbi Meir Omer, Pigul V'chayavin Alav Karet. Rabbi Meir says that in the instance where you have this machshava in the Tosefta, that it brings up with pigul, and then you're chayav karet. Michdei. Karet lo michayev, ad shikarvu kol matirav. You're not chayav karet until you do everything else right. You have to have a machshevet pigul of chutz l'zmano on one of the avodot, on one of the matirim. At least according to the Chamim, it has to be complete matir. According to Rabbi Meir, a chatzi matir. And then you have to then finish the entirety of the process properly. That's what we said before. In order to be Pigul Chutz L'Zmano, the only thing that could be wrong is that one aspect of Pigul Chutz L'Zmano. Then for everything else, either you have a Machshevet Chutz L'Zmano, or you do it right. This is what we saw earlier. Karatzat Kasher, Karatzat Pasul. Just like the way you do it to be Kasher, you must do it to be Pasul. Maratzat Kasher, Ad Shikrivu Kol Matirav. So too, just like by a Behema, when you want it to be Kasher and to be a proper Karban, you have to do everything right. Avartzat Pasul. Also, when it comes to the Machshev Chutz Zmano, Achi Kribu Kol Mati Rav. Until you do everything else properly, until the entirety of the Korban is done properly, there is no Pigul. So Mara says, I don't understand. Veha, Kevin Dechoshi Be Bifnim Psula, that once he has the Machsheve Pigul in the inner, or Lifnai Lifnim, let's say inside of Venabadim, it's Psul, Kaman Dolo Adi Dami. Then it's as if he didn't sprinkle. When afterwards he goes and sprinkles it in Eichal on the parochet, then it's as if he's sprinkling water because he's now ruined it. When he breaks down the hazaot, if we say that all the hazaot are me'akev, and then he goes ahead and has a machshava, an improper machshava during the hazaot bifnim, then he's now ruined those hazaot. When he continues to do the hazaot bifnim, they're nothing. He already had a pigul, machshava pigul, which ruins them, and when he continues to do the hazot, those hazot are zero. If those hazot become zero, then when you go out and take the dam and try to do it on the parochet, you've now missed what's been needed to be done. Ben abadim, if you're doing it on the parochet, it's like you're sprinkling water there. It's out of order. It doesn't work. So how does Rabbi Meir ever end up with pigul, v'chayiv and alav karet? Because once you have a machshava of pigul in the chatzi matir, then you've broken up the sprinkling. All right, so that's your question. Rashi and Tosafot try to deal with your question, which is, wait a minute, how do you ever have pigul? Pigul always then would ruin whatever you're doing. Once you've ruined it, then when you continue to do the avodah afterwards, they're nothing. So Tosos answers the question by saying that if you look at the bottom, Rabbeinu Tam Amar Mefarish de Bechad Makom Pshite Dalo Amrina Maya Ba'almahu. When it's in a single location, we don't say that it's considered Maya Ba'alma. Tikamadi Tchilat Avoda Bigmar Avoda. V'hoch Gzerat Hakatuv. Avo B'shnei Mikamot V'achilo Arikra Umaya Ba'alma Kamadi. The way that Rabbeinu Tam explains it is that within the context of where you are and you have a Machshev Pigul over there, we're not going to say that the Pigul ruins what you did. But if there's a demand in a korban to do something in two locations, then we're going to say that the machshavet pigul in one location is then going to make it problematic for the second location. Rashi deals with it. If you look in Rashi, Gemahadir Madi Be'echal Maya Ba'alma Kamadi, it's the Rashi on the left side, top of the Gemara, across from there in the Rashi. The Nimsa, Shlo Zarak Damo, says if he didn't sprinkle it about. When it comes to the Hazot HaPnim Yot, every one of them is Ma'akev. So then, what about if he had Meshevet Pigul B'Shechita? That's your question, Roni. He has Meshevet Pigul B'Shechita, then what? Everything he does afterwards should be considered nothing. Afagav de Pasle, v'hodah zarekleh, obim machshavo b'shtika, kevin de pigel b'avuda shleimah or b'avadachat, v'shuv lohu tzibo machshev psulacher. So since he had a machshava pigul on an entire avodah, and afterwards he doesn't say anything, avobish zrigat demo dam pasul, the zrigat adam that he's now doing is dam pasul because he had the wrong machshava b'shechita, kevin de rabbi rachmana pigul b'shechita, since the Torah was rabbi, that pigul happens by shechita, kedam ram b'per vishon, devrim em b'idili de achiba ha-katuv b'deber, al korchachach b'chachi amar rachmana, pigul lif b'zrika zu, kamashi meratzeh l'pigulo, that's what happens. It'll be meratzeh to make it into pigul. If the Torah prescribes for us that when you have a single avodah you can make something into pigul, then the Torah is saying that afterwards anything you do will be proper enough to make it into pigul. V'chein the Rabbanan. Also the Rabbanan, the Ba'u Machshava B'kulei Zrika. They require a Machshava on the entire Zrika. Therefore, until you have a Machshava on the entire Zrika, you're not Mifagel over here. If you don't have a Machshava about the entire Zrika, if you do have a Machshava on the entire Zrika, then you Mifagel an entire Avodah. If you Mifagel the entire Avodah, then the Torah says, if you keep going and do it properly, that will create Pigul. The problem here is that Rabbi Meir now introduces us a possibility of creating a pigul in half of an avoda. Now once you create pigul in a half an avoda, now we're running into a problem, because then you don't have a distinct item in which you created the pigul. If you have a distinct avoda in which you create the pigul, the Torah can prescribe everywhere else that you do it, it's good to create pigul. That will make it into pigul afterwards. But if I'm halfway through an avoda and you make it into pigul, that's not what the Torah spoke about. That's not where the Torah says, well, if you have a pigul of a machshava, chatzi matir, then if you go into the other chatzi part of the matir, okay, everything's good. That's not what the Torah spoke about. Even according to Reish Lakish, it says Rabbi Meir's position is that you're mefagel only al dat rishona, means that according to Rabbi Meir, you still have to have the machshava about the entire avodah, and therefore the pigul will apply to that entire avodah. That's fine, because then you have a distinct avodah. The problem arises if we believe that Rabbi Meir's position is that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. Once you're mefagel and chatzi matir, then you have a position or a possibility where you have a machshava in half an avodah. Then what do you do with the other half of the avodah? In the other half of the avodah, you're doing something that is maya ba'alma, is water. You're sprinkling something that now has no meaning whatsoever because you had a machshav pigul which ruined it. Now you're not finished that avodah where you're going on to other avodot, which the Torah says, go on to other avodot, that makes it good. But rather, you're saying that the chatzi matir on the middle of an avodah, now you want the other half to be good? That you can't do. And that is the question over here with regards to Rabbi Meir's position. If Rabbi Meir really believes that you're mefagel b'chatzi matir, then how do you ever get a case of pigol b'chayavin alav karet in these situations? Rashi suggests that it has to do with the entirety of avodah, it has to do with the completion of avodah. The Rabbeinu Tam, on the other hand, seems to indicate that it has to do with makom echad and shnei mekomot. So for instance, by komets and levonah, which are shnei matirim for the mincha. So over there, even though you could have machshava about one matir and not the other matir, that's still considered to be a complete machshava because it's b'makom echad that you're doing it. It's not b'shnei mekomot. It's not like you're in the ben abadim and then going out to the parochet. That already is shnei mekomot, where then we're going to say there's a problem. It's as if there's two distinct mekomot. That will ruin it. But if you're makom echad, that's considered to be making it into pigo. Amar Rabo, mishkacha lo be'arba'a parim u'bedalid si'irim. So this actually supports the position of Rashi. Remember, Rashi said before that it was Rishonah, Shinyah, Shlishit, and then Rivi'it. This supports his position over here, because the Gemara says, Rabba suggests over here, how can you have pigul according to Rabbi Meir? Is if the blood spilled, or you brought a new par or a new seir for each series of damim, hazot damim. So why do you need four parim and four seirim? There are only three series of damim that are placed. There is ben abadim, there's the parochet, and mizbeach hazav. What do you see that you need a fourth one over here? A fourth one over here indicates that there is actually a fourth series. That fourth series would sound like that there is actually either like Rashi, which suggests that it's the other seven on the Mizbeach Zahav. According to Tosos, you could argue that the fourth one here is brought for the Shirayim, to create the Shirayim when the Shirayim are Makveh. It's hard, because to create Shirayim, you really need to have a Zah that creates the Shirayim. So this really suggests that the position of Rashi is correct, that we're talking about there actually are four series over here, even though again in other places Rashi does not say that. Rashi also suggests that there are three series over here. So now, if he does that, then you have an instance where you can have pigo in the entirety of each series. You can have a machshavah pigo in the series of the Ben Abadim, finish that up, that's b'avodah achat, and then when he moves out to do the hazot and the parochet, if the blood's spilled, he brings a new par. Once he brings a new par, we're starting over with new blood, then we don't have to worry about the fact that he's b'maya ba'alma. The blood, you're right, the blood that he did in the inside of ben abadim, that's gone, that's maya ba'alma. But now he brought new blood to do on the parochet, because that blood's gone, he did another par. If he has a machshev pigul there, then again, if that's maya ba'alma, he brings another par. So if he does each par, if he brings a separate par for each set of hazaot, then we don't have this problem. So even though he's mfagel b'chatzi matir, then when the damim become water and no longer useful, he then brings another par to do the next series of hazaot. So that's how he gets over this problem. Same thing with the par, same thing with this seir. That's it. The Gemara does. The Gemara creates these unusual cases to extremes to show how far does the position go. We're testing the limits of the position. So Gemara creates a case, not necessarily that this would happen, not necessarily that this is a practical case, but creates a position or a case which allows us to test the limits of Rabbi Meir and understand Rabbi Meir's position. So here now you've solved one of the two problems, which is that if you go and you had a problem, a machshava, a problem enduring the Ben Abadim, I can bring another par to deal with the parochet, to deal with the Mizbeach HaZav. But what about inside the Ben Abadim itself? When you had a machshevet pigol on one of the Matnot Damim there, then say for the first of the eight. The other seven are then Maya Ba'alma. How do you deal with that? So Rashi claims over here, and that's what Rashi says, Barba Parim, Pigel Ben Abadim, Bechol Matnotav. That you have to have machshevet pigol in all this work to Rabbi Meir, you'd have to have a machshevet pigol on the entire eight that are Ben Abadim. So if you have machshevet pigol by entire eight, that is a chatzi matir, because it's still a part of a larger process of sprinkling, but it has to be the entirety of that sprinkling that you had that machshava. Otherwise, then once you had machshava in the first one, and then afterwards you said nothing, that would become maya ba'alma. Everything else would be water. So you have to have a machshava and people chutz lizmano on the entirety of the series that's inside the Kodesh HaKadoshim in order to have it now work. Tosfos, on the other hand, solves the problem by saying v'yesh lomar kagon shepigel b'hazachrona shel ben abadim, that he had the machshava pigol on that series of damim on the last of the series, and therefore it doesn't affect the series that it's in, only the subsequent series, and for each of those he's bringing a new par. So Rashi says that he had a machshava pigul over the whole series, and Tosfos says that it has to do with the fact that he had a machshava pigul only in the last one, and therefore the series that he's in is not problematic, it's only the subsequent series that will be an issue. That's Rabba's suggestion. Rava suggests, Rava Amara Filu Tema, Beparachad Beseirachad. Rava says, even if you use one par once a year, Lifigulo Miretze. Rava says something along the lines of what you were suggesting before, based on your question. Wait, how do you have Pigol by Mizbech Chitzon? How do you have Pigol anywhere? Once you have the Machshev, it makes it problematic, then everything else is problematic. What's the answer to that question? Is that, that's what the Torah says. The Gzeret HaKatuv is that when you continue to do the Avodah, even though it's Pasul, that will be Miratzeh in order to make it Pigul. That's what Rava says here too. The Torah says there is a concept called Pigul. The Torah also says if you want it to come Pigul, you must continue the Avodah through, see it through to its end. And when the Torah says do it through its end, that will be, even though the Gabe, like what you're suggesting, the Gabe Avodah Yom Kippurim, it's Maya Ba'alma, you didn't do anything. But the Gabe Pigul, it has significance, because it's Miratzeh to bring you to the pras, the end, to make it into Pigul V'chayivim Karet. And that's Rava's answer. Filu Teima Parachad, or Seir Achad Figulo, Miratzeh, that it takes care of the Pigul, even though they're not real Hazaot, the Gabe, being Yotze, the Avodah, they're real enough to make it into Pigul V'chayivim Karet. He undermines the question, saying that the question is not a good question, because that is the Gzeret HaKatuv, that if you continue on, even though B'Pesul, that's what makes it into Pigul, and that will be true here as well. Now, Rava's statement is a Chiddush, because until this point, we might have thought, like we made the distinction before, that's only true if you have Machshav and Pigul in an entire Avodah, then the subsequent Avodah, the Torah says, go ahead and do them, and there'll be Miratzeh and Pigul. What Rava is now being Mechadesh, according to Rabbi Meir, is that even when you have a Machshav Pigul and a Chatzi in Avodah, and a Chatzi Matir, that what you continue to do afterwards is Miratzeh l'Pigul. That even though it's not a distinct Avodah, that the Torah still says. And that's the Chiddush of Rava. Rava does undermine the question, but he's bringing a big Chiddush in saying that. Which is that when you say, we're saying more than we say in Mizbech HaChitzon. That when you have here a Machshava and Chatzi of a Matir, and you continue to do that Matir, that is considered to be Miratzeh l'Pigulo. Not when you have distinct Avodot and say, oh, the next Avodah will be considered okay. Here, even within one Avodah, we're saying it will be considered Miratzeh l'Pigulo. Now the Gemara says, Arbaim v'shalosh. There are 43 hazaot on Yom HaKippurim, which we enumerated before. V'adanya, we have a braita. Arbaim v'sheva, that there are 47. Hanka mandamar marvim lekarnot. Hanka mandamar de marvim lekarnot. So as I explained before, you bring the Paryar and Seir, the Damim are brought separately. You do 8 Hazaot ben Abanim, and 8 Hazaot ala lifnei parochet for the Par, and then for the Seir. After that point in time, you mix their blood together, and then you do 4 Matnot on the Mizbeach Zahav, and then the 7 on top of the Mizbeach Zahav. This Mandamar believes that you don't mix the blood until after the Matnot on the Makarnot of Mizbeach Zahav. So therefore, for each both the Par and the Seir, there'll be 8 Hazaot ben Abadim, 8 Hazaot on the Parochet, and then 4 Hazaot on the Mizbeach Zahav. Then you mix their Damim. And then you mix their Damim and do the 7 on top of the Mizbeach Zahav. What will that make? That will give us an additional 4. That additional 4 will get us from 43 to 47. So the difference in the opinion of the one who says 43 and 47 is when you mix the blood of the Par and the Seir. According to the one who says 43, you mix the blood of the Par and the Seir before you do any of the Matnot on the Mizbeach Zahav. According to the opinion, it says 47, you only mix the blood after you've done the Matnot on the Karnot of the Mizbeach Zahav. Then you mix them to do the 7 on top of the Mizbeach Zahav. The Gemara says, V'atanya arba'im mishmoneh. Don't we have 48? We have a bright that says 48. The Gemara says, no, Hankan demanda amar shirai me'akvim, Hankan demanda amar shirai me'akvim. That's according to the one who says that shirai me'akev, then I have an additional, it's not a hazah, but it's a shvichat hadamim, that adds an additional item that you have to do with the blood, that is me'akev. So therefore he counts 48, because he includes the shirayim that are me'akvim. According to the other opinion, the shirayim are not me'akvim, and therefore he only has 47. Now, truthfully, as Tosfos points out, that you could have an opinion. Even if Shirayim are Makvim, you could still have the number 47 or 43, because you could just believe that Shirayim are not considered to be in this enumeration. This enumeration is about Hazaot. It's not about what you do with the Shirayim. Shirayim is like a separate entity, a separate type of Avodah. So, technically, if someone had the opinion of Shirayim Makvim, you could still hold the 47. But nevertheless, you could figure out how you could get to 48 by having the Shirayim be included in the enumeration. So now the Gemara says, Meitavei, we have another question. Bamed v'amurim, when is this true? That's v'kmitza b'matan kli u'behiluch. That's saying that when you do the kmitza of the comments from the mincha, and then you place it into the kli u'behiluch, when you do the holocha. Aval ba'lo lahaktara, if he comes to the point where he's being maktirin on the mizbeach, natan et hakomets v'machshava, v'et halavona b'shtika, if he brings the comments with a machshevet chutz lizmano, and he puts on the levona, which is the other matir, silence, without anything. Oh, shenatan et hakometz b'shtika, or he places on the kometz without saying anything. I mean, he did it properly. Ve'et levona b'machshava, and he does levona with machshevet chutz lizmano. Rabbi Meir Omer, pigul b'chayelivin alav karet, v'chamimrim ein bo karet, et shiruvel b'chol matir. What do you see here? You see Rabbi Meir has a position of pigul. And here we're talking about chatzi matir clearly. Clearly it's not here as al-dat rishona. Because look at the two examples that the Mishnah brought in the case of menachot. It says, either you had a machshava first, and then you were silent, or you were silent, and then you had a machshava. That only works if you believe Rabbi Meir's position is that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. If you believe, like Rabbi Shlokish, that Rabbi Meir's position is all about al-dat rishona hu asah, then how do you explain the case where he was silent first and then had the machshevet pigul afterwards? That doesn't work. Why would it be pigul b'chayvin ha-makaret? So that's what the Gemara says now. Kitani miha, you see from this that the opinion of Rabbi Meir is et ha-kometz b'shtika et ha-lavona b'machshava u-palig. And Rabbi Meir argues in that instance. That shows that Rabbi Meir's position must be that you give him a fagel b'chazim matir. Gemara says, Ema kivar natan et ha-lavona b'machshava. Now reread this, that not that he says he did the kometz b'shtika and then the lavona b'machshava afterwards, but rather, he did the kometz b'shtika and the lavona he already did b'machshev and pigol. Right, which is obviously a difficult way of reading the Braita, but that would solve your problem. The Gemara says, we have two problems with that. Chado dahainu resha. Number one, then all you did was repeat the same case again. What's the first case over here? First case is when you have machshev pigol and then shtika. If you read the Braita, they say, oh, the second case where it says silence and then pigol means the pigol really happened before. Now you have two cases of pigol and then shtika. What do I need two cases of pigol and then shtika in the right? That's number one. The other problem is ba'od hatanya va'acharkach. And number two is you're trying to reread this brayta to say that they are happened beforehand. In another brayta, it explicitly says acharkach, which would mean that they are said sequentially and that you can't twist it around and make it fit the way you want. It specifically says acharkach. Acharkach means that it happened sequentially. And the brayta lays it out that he did one and then he did the other. It doesn't say that he did the other one before. Kasha, that leaves us in a difficulty. Now, that leaves us in a difficulty in explaining the brayta this way, which would present a difficulty for Reish Lakish. Before, and this is how the sugya started. The sugya started with our understanding of Rabbi Meir. Why does Rabbi Meir say in all of these instances that we bring, why does he think that it's pigul? The answer we thought was because he says you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. Reish Lakish came along and tried to be mechadesh in Rabbi Meir's position that he doesn't really hold that you can be mefagel b'chatzi matir. He really believes that it's al dat rishona hu osa. That as long as you have a machshev pigul, the default, once you've articulated the machshev pigul, the default is that everything subsequent to that also has a machshev pigul. And that's why it's really mefagel in the entire matir. It's just that he made a statement and we extrapolate that statement to everything he does. So the Gemara today then brought questions on Reish Lakish. We started out with a Meitavei, which is Bamei Devarim Marmim for the Tosefta, that presented a problem for Reish Lakish's position. We had three Amoraim try to solve the problem for Reish Lakish. We had the position of Rav Yitzchak Bar Avin explained according to Rava. We had Rava attempt and Rav Ashi attempt, and the Gemara in the end said Kasha, that we were unable to explain it. We just had here, again, Bamei Devarim Marmim, another Tosefta from Menachot, that we also tried to explain according to Reish Lakish, and again we failed to explain it, and therefore it presents a problem for Reish Lakish according to Rabbi Meir. We had the middle piece in the Gemara where we discussed about Chatzi Matir. That actually was less problematic for Reish Lakish. It then wasn't a problem at all, because Reish Lakish doesn't believe Rabbi Meir says you can be Mfagel B'Chatzi Matir. According to one who holds that Rabbi Meir is Mfagel B'Chatzi Matir, we have to find out, we have to solve the problem. How do you have Pigul B'Chatzi Matir when we're talking about the Azot HaPnimiyot? How do you come up with such an instance that you can have Pigul and Chayvin Avav Karet? So that the answer to that was Rabba and Rava gave the two solutions. Rabba said he brought multiple behemot, and Rava said even what brought one behema, it's Meratzeh Lefigulo. And that's the layout that we did today in the Gemara, and tomorrow we'll start with the Mishnah.